Today on a soul-sucking episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, real humans pick up the phone to share their stories of heart-stopping encounters with the dead. Do the dead have a negative or chilling goal in mind with the living souls they encounter? Or do they simply want to suck the life out of those who are trying to live their best life? We ask the question and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, more than 400 of them now for you to binge away on, as well as advanced episodes of the show, the whole archive, all of it completely commercial-free for you to enjoy at your leisure. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to get in on all of that. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Only 18 more days left of school.
Hey, and then you'll be a big second grader, right?
No, fourth.
Oh, yeah, it's fourth that you're...
Okay, I'm going to be up in the middle school.
Yeah, you're going to be up in there, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, up in the middle school.
A so, walk in playing Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg and Dogg.
This will work out well. Yeah, so, wow, that's scary. I think I drove by the middle school today, and I'm like, oh, that's where you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty big.
You know, you're right across the street.
From a graveyard.
From a graveyard.
Yeah.
You are.
Whenever we drive past that in the bus, I always say, and that's where the bad kids go.
What I was wondering about it quite actually was more so that graveyard looks like it's been there for quite some time. And that road doesn't necessarily look like it's been there forever. It makes me wonder. Are some of the graves on the spot where the middle school was built, never to be disturbed again, other than the concrete, and the structure, and the pilings to build that building?
No, I hope I don't get locked in an art closet.
And do the dead still linger within the walls of that middle? I don't know. I'm kidding. Actually, it looks like there's a very old rock fence around it, and it looks pretty dated. So I'm thinking, the middle school is probably not built on a graveyard.
Sadly.
Sadly.
But there is a possibility.
You're like hoping for this to actually be real.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. I'm just joking.
Hey,
people. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. We've been recording shows throughout the evening with Carol and Harper, and we've stopped once or twice for severe weather where we had to go to a shelter, and this is our last episode of the night that we're doing. So we're a little bit worn down.
I'm not going to school tomorrow.
We'll let you take a break.
Yay!
Yeah, it's been a late night of being in that storm shelter, and we're just still kind of wound up, so I said, let's do a show!
Yeah.
And
on this very dark, stormy night.
Here we go. Let's hear a ghost story. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Jace, and I just want to tell you about my demon encounter. I've never considered myself sensitive to supernatural things, but I do believe that once you take out all the bit of logic that you can throw in, oh, it could have been a bird hitting the window. Oh, it could have been... it. When all the logical evidence is thrown out and it just is supernatural, I believe it. But it's funny I say that because I don't want to say I've been haunted. I should say I've been protected by my late father. He died a few years ago. He was in a car accident, but it was odd because me and him never really got along too well. We'd always respected each other, but me and him never really saw eye to eye. And we were talking one day, and I looked at him. I told him I loved him, even though sometimes he gets on my last nerve. And he looked at me and he said, "I love you too. I will always protect you no matter what happens." And his work actually called. He owned a business, and he had to go to the office, and he never made it there. But that was a few years ago. I'm 18 years old, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I always had a phobia of the dark. Like, if I couldn't see anything at all, I'd flip out. I couldn't handle it. I could always swear I felt, breath on the back of my neck. I could always feel something touching the very back of my foot, just enough to where I question if it actually happened. And now I actually think I know why I had a phobia of the dark. The breathing that I would so-called feel in the dark was very labored. It was in and out, in and out, and it sounded very wheezy, like they were having trouble breathing. But it was so faint. It was so faint. I couldn't even. Anyways, lately, there. A little bit of context. There's two wanted fugitives in Georgia right now, and this happened just a few days ago. I was in the shower, and I was home alone, and the door opened to the house, and we don't necessarily have an alarm. We do, but we generally just use the system my dad set up a very long time ago, to where if you open the door, three loud beeps go through the house, just so people could know someone's coming in or going out. I've never snuck out, but I've always imagined it'd be very hard to sneak out. I can neither confirm nor deny that I have snuck out before. But my dad, for my 18th birthday, had given me a Smith & Wesson. It was old. It was kind of old, but it worked just fine, and it's my favorite gun. I still have it. But I had actually gone shooting with my best friend. He doesn't really know how to shoot very well, and I was teaching him how to shoot, how to hold it, and whatever. So when I got home, I had taken a shower just to get all the lead and the dirt off me. And so when I got out, I heard the door open. I still had my gun on the pants on the floor. So I had grabbed it and I had opened the door because I had thought it was the fugitives, because my mom wasn't supposed to be home and no one was supposed to be home. And I walked into the kitchen, and the way that my house is laid out, it's the kitchen, then it's the dining room, then it's the kitchen, and then it's a foyer, or whatever. It's the room where you walk into when you first walk in. And I had walked into the dining room because that's where the hallway is, where the bathroom is. And what I saw confused me. The door was wide open, and it was weird because the bolt was still open and like it was locked, but I didn't even notice that until later, because I was too busy staring at the woman staring right at me. She had on a dress that was dirt, like horribly dirty. I couldn't tell if it was dirt or blood or both. She had dirty, dirty, dirty black long hair. And she was so skinny. And I thought it was just a homeless woman with really long fingernails, because her fingernails were straight and they were about 2 feet long each. But on the other hand, she just looked like she had regular fingernails. And I was just going to tell her, I was either just going to, sorry if this offends anybody, I was either going to tell her to get out of my house or I was going to shoot her right then and there. But before I could even say anything, she wheezed and she breathed very hard, just like I swore I could hear in the dark, and panic grabbed me. All of a sudden, I lifted the gun, lifted the hand that the gun was in, and there was no gun. And I panic gripped me, and fight or flight kicked in. I wasn't going to fight that thing, so I ran to my room, and where she was. My room is on the opposite side of the house, and it's a one-story house. And I, this sounds so stupid, but I collect katanas and other kinds of blades or whatever. So I basically threw everything off my dresser to grab what's called a pudao, a P-U-D-A-O. And it, just look it up if you don't know what it looks like. And I was, it was the longest one I had, and I was gonna protect myself while keeping a distance. So I don't know why she walked all the way to my room, and she scratched the walls. Even though there are no scratch marks, I could hear her scratching the walls. And when she walked in, I thought I was gonna die. I thought I was gonna die by the thing that haunted me at night. And all of a sudden, my dad is a very big man, and he was missing half of his ring finger because of a saw accident. So when I saw a giant hand seem to create itself out of mist and plow the woman's head into the wall, I could see my dad for about a second, and he looked at me, and he was smiling, and all of a sudden, it was instantaneous. They were gone. Like, it wasn't like I blinked and they were gone. It was so, I hadn't even blinked. It was, they were there, and then they weren't. It's like they just, poof, snapped out of existence. And when I registered what had just happened, my dad had kept his promise. I broke down and cried. I hadn't cried in 2 years. I didn't even cry at my dad's funeral because I didn't know how to react. That sounds heartless, but I literally didn't even know what to do. Yeah, that's my story. I can send you a picture of the weapon that I was going to defend myself with, and I can actually show you the hole where the woman's head went in on my wall. And yeah. So that's my story. I hope you liked it. Sorry for rambling on. I'm not an EPP, so if you guys decide to air this, don't put it on an EPP episode, because I won't hear it. I can't afford it. So, you guys are awesome. I love your story. I love your stories. Tony, I think that every once in a while you should maybe read a creepypasta, because those things are awesome. And just read a few, and people don't like them, then don't do it again. have a nice day, you guys. See ya.
Isn't a creepypasta essentially what we do every day?
Yeah, it is.
I don't really understand what the difference is. I mean, all we do is get ghost stories and calls that are
terrifying.
Because a creepypasta is what? People posting creepy stories on the internet?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then what's the difference?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, this is what we do every day. So, and being an EPP is only $5 a month, by the way. So, very affordable.
Yep. It's not like 20 something a year.
No, we try and make it really, you know, if you want to do a year, you can do a year, but it's $5 a month. But yeah, creepy story.
Very. So, smashing a woman's head into a wall. That's something.
Yeah. I mean, obviously. And what was the context of that?
Creepy woman walking through house after door had been locked and opened. Still locked and yet still open.
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't fully know, but the woman, like, had bad intentions, I believe.
Yeah. Just, you know, in any context, very scary situation to be in, and,
Long fingernails.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
That's disturbing.
Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this story. Hi.
This is Kristen again with another Lake House Elm Lodge story. I'm going to keep calling you this week because I'm on holiday for the Christmas, and I'm sick. So again, I'm sorry for the raspy voice, and I will tell you another story. So my grandfather and grandmother met in World War II. They met on a Friday and were married on a Saturday, and were married for 65 years. My grandmother was considered a war bride. She was from London. She had my father on American soil in England, so he had dual citizenship. But eventually my grandfather had to go back home to school in Harvard, and she had to learn to accommodate to his privileged kind of trust fund family that at the time was still a part of a different class order that doesn't exist today, full of clubs and things like that. So, and fancy dresses and those kinds of things. So either way, he brings her over, and everyone doubts them, and they stay married for 65 years. And I had a very close relationship with my grandmother after my grandfather died. I had a very close relationship with him too, but he moved her. They flew on an airplane one day up here from Connecticut, and he moved her next door to my parents, and he died as soon as he arrived in the little house on the property, and she said her final goodbyes to him. And so I was left as her primary caretaker along with my husband, and we'd go see her every night for dinner. Eventually, she started missing her other home down in Harvey Cedars, New Jersey, and she was moved down there, and I became pregnant, and I wasn't able to visit her as much. So one day, I normally called her every week. I went for a walk to the mailbox, and this beautiful monarch butterfly was just flying in front of me, And as I reached the mailbox, it just fluttered to the ground and it died. And of course, something like that's going to catch your attention. And in a flash, I felt like I couldn't stand. And I just knew my grandfather was trying to get in touch with me and that my grandmother was going to die that day. And sure enough, my aunt called me back after I frantically called over and over again and said, your grandmother's in a dreamlike state and she's going to die soon. And she died about 5 hours later. So about 2 months later, I went to Elm Lodge, to the lake house, and I was pregnant. So I rushed in and there's only one bathroom downstairs attached to a bedroom that looks out to the front of the house. And it's attached to the dining room where I told you there's been many guests or ghost sightings. So I knocked on the bedroom door thinking my sister-in-law was in there. And I heard clear as day a voice, and it said, just a minute, just like that. And I thought, well, why isn't my sister-in-law letting me in? She always lets me in. And I said, it's just me. Let me in. Fine, I'll wait. And I wandered into the living room, and there I saw my sister-in-law and brother out on the canoe. And I knew I was the only person in the house. So I went back and I opened the door and no one was in there. And then I remembered my grandmother's British accent. And she always said, just a minute. And I knew it was her. I haven't heard her or my grandfather again. I think that was my last time. I know they found each other and they've left the property. As for the other ones, they were there, most certainly. And I have more stories. So that's all. I hope you get these. I hope to hear from you soon. I know you're busy and you have lots of messages. I remember one time you said that it takes you maybe a few months to get through all the messages and emails that you get. So I hope you get these at some point and you have a happy holiday season. Thanks, Kristen.
That indeed it does, because we get a lot of calls, lots of emails. Where we try to get to them as quickly as we can. Thoughts on that?
It's kind of cool how she saw a monarch butterfly, considering, you know, how my great-grandpa and the Cardinals, I see all of them like every day, and I'm just like, hi, great-grandpa.
And they poop on my truck every day. And I say, thank you for pooping on my truck, great-grandpa. Grandpa.
I usually see it like sitting on the porch.
Yeah, I see him all the time. We have like a whole family of Cardinals down there, which makes me wonder, like, do we have a whole like family of dead family members that live in the woods?
Oh,
that
my
are birds?
That's horrible. Like, dead family members that we don't even know about.
They're all just hanging out as cardinals down in the pasture.
By the way, like, I always just, like, whenever I see a cardinal, like, around the property, I'm just like, hi, great-grandpa.
I do the same thing. I say, hey, grandpa, how you doing? Because he loved birds. He loved looking for birds. And I got him a bird book for Christmas when I was a kid 1 year. And remember going to the library with him when I was a kid, when you go to the library to look up things. And he had like, he was so into it. They would let him down like to the basement of the library where they had a lot of books that you, I guess most people couldn't borrow out, or you had to know it was there or something to get it. But I think the same thing whenever I see it, even if the bird is pooping on my truck, which it does every day. I have to get my car washed like 3 times a week because they sit on the mirrors of each side of my truck and they just hang out all day. And every time I go out there, there's a cardinal right there. I'm like, hey, how you doing? But birds do that. So, and if he's a bird, if he's doing that, I don't blame him. You're a bird. You kind of do what you do and you're a bird. So, but I do think of the same thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
My name is Rebecca. I'm calling from Eugene, Oregon. I hope I'm coming through okay. I'm just calling you guys on my way back to work because I recently discovered that I had experienced something paranormal, and I thought that I had never experienced a paranormal experience before. So, yeah. Well, I guess I'll start off by saying that my grandpa, my paternal grandfather, he died before I was born, and I never got to meet him. But I heard a lot about him. I heard he was a really good man and that he cared about his family a lot. And when I was young, I'd say from the time when I was like a little baby to maybe 6 or 7 years old, my parents would drop me off at my grandma's house and they would go on a date night, you know. And I had a lot of really good times at my grandma's house, and she spoiled me for sure. She actually got me this Furby, and I'm sure we all know Furbies, but for those who don't know, I don't know about the new model of Furby because apparently that's come back. But the old Furbies, they didn't have an off switch. You could either turn them off by taking the batteries out, or you would just have to let them sit for a while and they would just shut down. And they would wake back up if you, if you touched them. And so I remember one night when I was really young, like let's say 5 or 6, I was playing with my Furby before bed, and I couldn't get it to shut up. And I was trying and trying, and I would just leave it, and it still wouldn't shut up. So I just decided to stick it in the closet, and that would be that. And so I went to sleep, and I remember this so vividly. In the middle of the night, it just started making noise, and it started saying, like, play with me, like all those things that Furbies do. And, like, it woke me up, it startled me, but I didn't really think anything of it. Because I was, like, a little kid. So time passes. I'm 21 now. And my grandma died in 2009. And recently, my dad told me that my grandma believed that my grandpa's ghost was haunting her house. And when I was going over there, I had no idea. I'm sure he didn't want her to tell me because, you know, he doesn't really believe in that stuff, and I didn't even know that my grandma believed in that until after she had passed. But, yeah, I recently found out that she believed that my grandpa's spirit was haunting our house. And she suddenly said that she felt it was a protective spirit and that we didn't have anything to worry about. But he also told me that she said that he liked to move things around in that closet, the closet in my old room. And I finally put two and two together and I realized maybe it was him who triggered the Furby in the middle of the night and woke me up. Kind of funny. And I really wish that I had been able to talk with my grandma about this stuff before she died, but you know, things just happen the way they do. So I thought that was kind of cute and nice. I love your show. I listen to it while I'm at work. It makes the time fly by. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
We should have a Furby bell.
A what?
A Furby bell.
A Furby bell?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? For pretending somebody talks about a Furby?
Yeah.
It's not that frequent.
Well, neither is the bunk beds.
No, it is. Bunk beds are very frequent.
Really?
Yeah, much more frequent than Furbies. I have to get the bell out of my other office because it's still sitting in the old studio. But no, I had a Furby as a co-host once.
Was it scary?
It Furbies make a lot of random noises. Yes, the original ones were, and they said like if you trained them well enough, like they could learn things. I don't know. This is circa 1999. I don't think they really have the technology to do anything quite that well yet. Today I could see it happening, but back then, not so much. It made a lot of random noises, and then people would say that they thought they heard words out of them.
Plot twist is speaking in German, asking for help and warning about the secret society of lizard people.
Huh?
Secret plot twist is warning you about lizard people.
Oh, the Furby is warning you about yeah, there you go. There's a conspiracy theory.
Hey, that works.
The way that Furbies were in such demand, I think it was like 1999 for Christmas. They were like like Tickle Me Elmo, I think, has been the only other thing I've thought of that has been that in demand on a Christmas.
Tickle Me Elmo is so creepy.
They are, but they were super in demand on Christmas for a couple years. I haven't seen anything like that since, but Furbies were going for like thousands of dollars on eBay in 1999, and eBay was brand new. and it was so hard to find one. I got one.
How?
I'm trying to I think we got it through the Toys R Us in town. I believe they had one. They held it for me, and we promoted them on the air, and they gave me a Furby. And then the thing was, okay, we're going to give it away on the air. How do you win the Furby? Like, and the contest was, what would you do for a Furby? Today, this would be a very dangerous contest. You'd probably get sued for it. But back then, people were like, I'll do this for a Furby. I'll do that for a Furby. And the winning thing that we did for a Furby was a person came in. And you know what a minnow is? The fish?
No.
A minnow's like a tiny fish. Like, you use them for bait.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah. So you like, they're living, but you'd hook them and then you throw them out in the lake with your, you know, reel, and
yeah,
it attracts other fish. So my town was a fishing town. We grew up on a lake. And so we had a lot of bait shops. And the guy said, I will drink 100 minnows for the Furby. And he did.
Really?
He came into the studio.
Did he die shortly after?
We got him 100 minnows from the bait shop. And he sat there and he had a big old glass and he pounded back 100 minnows.
Disclaimer, do not do this at home.
Do not do this at home. And he got the Furby.
Did he die shortly
after? No, I honestly didn't follow up, but I'm assuming he did not. But it's like, oh my God, it was so disgusting. It was this whole big glass and you see the minnows swimming around and he just look, chugs the thing down.
What did you, and you're sitting there just in the face of absolute disgust.
I was like, wow, this is good radio, but you can't see it. But it was interesting. I was 17 at the time, I think, right around there.
You were 16 firing your music teacher. Husband.
Yeah, that was another fun one. But no, it was, I was about 17. So this would have been, calculator, please. Oh. 39.
So you can pull it up faster.
22 years ago is when I would have done that. So
22?
22 years ago. Yep.
Wow. You're old.
And now I just started in radio when I was 14. So I feel like I've been in this much longer than I should be. But the thing is, I was playing radio station in my basement since I've been two. So I guess if you count it all in, I'm like, I've been doing radio for like 36 years. If you count the my first microphone, actually, right there on that shelf. See that CBS Sports microphone?
Yeah.
It's a toy. You put a battery in it and you could broadcast over like the radio station on your stereo in your house. And that was my first mic. I got that when I was two. And I've really been doing this ever since. So there you go. It's crazy. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening, keeping us on the air. We could not do this without you. Check out ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories to get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Thank you for that. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.